Attacks on unions have been a hallmark of the federal conservative government in recent years, imposing back-to-work legislation and intervening in collective bargaining procedures. A new private members bill introduced in Parliament last month by BC Conservative MP Russ Hebert would use the power of the Canadian Revenue Agency to increase pressure on unions across Canada if it is passed. Joining us to speak about the legislation and the Conservative government's ongoing attacks on unions is Dave Sauer from the Winnipeg Labour Council. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
Bill C-377 is an act that would amend the Income Tax Act to require unions to file detailed financial statements listed in and list a variety of their expenditures. Why is this a concern for unions?
It's a concern for a lot of different reasons. I think largely, it's unnecessary, firstly. We're very open and transparent and democratic organizations as is. It's heavily bureaucratic, creates a lot of extra red tape for the Canada Revenue Agency to be dealing with, which is increasing costs for taxpayers. Also increase the amount of time that we have to spend reporting things. And frankly, we see a lot of it as actually unconstitutional and a violation of certain provincial rights that exist out there.
So where does the justification for the legislation come about? Why does the government say that they're pushing this forward?
Well, I guess first you always have to ask who's asking the question. I mean, it is the Conservative government, not really known for openness and transparency even of itself. I think largely this is a political attack that is aimed at unions. It's trying to redirect our financial resources. It's there to ensure that we don't get to advocate on behalf of working people and working Canadians. So I think those are the biggest crux behind it, more or less. There is no real other reason that we can see. I mean, the attacks and the arguments are that we're not open and transparent enough as is, but that's just completely foolish. If you look at a lot of the constitutions and bylaws that exist for unions across Canada and labor organizations like the Labor Council, very open and transparent as is.
Who are unions currently accountable to and how they spend their funds?
Our membership. Our membership are the heart and soul, the backbone of our organizations. It's their hardworking dues that are paid to the labor organizations, unions, and so forth. So that's who we are accountable to, and we are accountable to them. If you look at my own organization, the Winnipeg Labor Council, we have an audit, an outside audit that is done annually with our organization. We have reviews by our trustees that are elected by the delegates of the Winnipeg Labor Council. 73 different affiliated unions that are part of the Winnipeg Labor Council. So that is who we are accountable to, and we are a very open and accountable organization.
The proposed legislation lists some particular types of expenditures that they'd like to see reported. What sorts of things would the legislation ask you to be reporting on?
Well, a large part, it's anything over an expenditure of $5,000. So that creates quite a lot of red tape out there. But what is, I think, of most interest is that they want to know the disbursements to officers, directors, trustees, identify them. And then they also want to know what the percentage of time is dedicated to political and lobbying activities. They also wants to know, where certain payments are put forward and so forth. As you know, corporate and union donations are barred in Manitoba on all three levels of government. So it's not an issue about us spending money on any one political party. Do we spend money on lobbying? Absolutely. We're entitled to that actually under the Supreme Court ruling in 1991 that said that unions are allowed to politically advocate on behalf of their members and on behalf of the broader society. So that is something that is already in line with legal arguments.
I know charities are restricted to lobbying only 10% of their funds, spend only 10% of their funds on lobbying efforts. Do unions have a similar cap?
No, we don't. And that was actually made very clear in that ruling, 91, made sure that because charities do have somebody, when people are asked to give a donation to them, they do have to be accountable where that goes. We are accountable too. I mean, that's where the whole voting process goes on, who our elected officers are and who our trustees are, who reviews our books and so on. So I think there are some differences there, though, because they are, putting a restriction on us does actually limit our freedom of speech, quote unquote, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It puts a real infringement on our right to collectively gather and use our voice.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that the this legislation would have an effect on Canadian taxpayers. It would be expensive to implement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The Canada Revenue Agency, my understanding, currently has about 100 individuals that are employed, at least according to the information provided by the Canadian Labour Congress, that review charities. Now, the amount of onerous data that is being required on unions, there's 25,000 labor organizations across the country. The amount that they're being asked, that they say this can be implemented in with $2.4 million, I think it was what was quoted by Russ Hebert, that was grossly underestimated as per the Parliamentary Budget Office, as well as Canada Revenue Canada. So, I mean, we could be looking at maybe 300 staff that might have to overlook all of these details. So that does incur an incredibly large cost on the taxpayer. I think I'm more concerned, though, about what the limitations it puts on us, though, is if we have to do this much extra financial, reporting and so forth, onerous reporting, we're not able to advocate out there for taxpayers. We're not able to advocate for good public services and good public sector employment and private sector employment and good jobs in this country and health and safety and workplaces and environmental issues. So that's the biggest damage I could see to taxpayers, is silencing the voice that we have.
And do you have any estimate as to what it would cost you for each union here, out of the 25,000 unions that you mentioned? I mean, that's going to be an extra cost for them in terms of accounting and administrative costs as well. Is that right?
Yes, it would. And actually, I mean, it's so nebulous. And this is a quote from the Parliamentary Budget Office. He says this law is so nebulous, he can't actually accurately predict how much it would even cost Revenue Canada. So for us to actually go through the entire amount of man hours that it would require to do this reporting mechanism, it's quite insurmountable at this point. We really wouldn't have any idea. I mean, because also there is issues with this legislation too. There's similarities in this bill to what's actually being or has been done in the United States. And the estimate down there is that an average of 550 hours is used up by a labor organization. So a full 3 months of work is used to deal with these kinds of issues. So it could have a very, very broad-reaching effect on our ability to advocate for what we believe.
And this legislation is analogous to a lot of other moves that the government's made recently to other types of organizations in Canada. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think it rings exactly true to the attacks that we've recently seen on environmental organizations and green groups. I think that these are attempts to chill the opposition, to stop any opponents of the Conservative government, and to prevent us from advocating on behalf of citizens, the environment, and all sorts of other issues. So absolutely, this is very, very much in line with an ideological attack that the Conservatives are unleashing.
So how can our listeners get involved in supporting you on this issue?
Well, we have a number of Conservative MPs here in Winnipeg who do support the legislation. My suggestion, or my encouragement, I want to recruit the general public in on this. Get in touch with your MP. Tell them that you don't want to have this additional tax burden. Tell them that you would like to see unions to continue to advocate for the things that matter most in society, health and safety in workplaces, good public expenditures. I mean, the list could go on and on for what we've advocated for. And very much a lot of those issues could be at risk if we don't actually act.
Great. And while I have you here, I just wanted to ask you about another thing about just last week, the provincial Conservative leader, Brian Pallister, made an announcement that he's concerned about the current requirements that companies that are contracted for some major projects, like with Manitoba Hydro and the Red River Floodway, that these projects have to pay union wages. They say that this requirement is unfair and costs the province billions of dollars. Can you comment on that perspective?
Well, I think the problem with Brian Pallister is that he's living in the 1940s or the 1930s. Duff Roblin implemented project labor management agreements for the floodway. Brian Mulroney has used them. Mike Harrison, the Ontario government, has used them as well. So project labor management agreements, in my opinion, are a very effective method of ensuring that projects are on time and on budget, and that they've proved their worth. If you take a look at the Red River floodway that was recently expanded, on time and on budget, and with a project labor management agreement. So I am not entirely convinced that he's very in tune with, I guess, Manitoba society at this point.
Do you think it's a signal that Manitoba has a threat to right-to-work legislation like you've seen in some other jurisdictions, like in some U.S. states in recent years?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't believe that this attack on organized labor is solely focused or centered in the United States. I think that this is a broad movement. These are Republican politics-style ideals that you see effectively there. I mean, I know when you talk about the kind of legislation that 377 presents, I mean, a similar legislation was passed in the United States. You had Grover Norquist, the very anti-tax advocate down there. He was advocating that this is great because then it weakens the labor movement because then they're not advocating on behalf of the things that are challenging his base. So this is exactly what Brian Palliser is bringing to the table, and I really don't think Manitobans are going to buy it. I think that Manitobans really want a good, stable economy, that projects are done effectively and on time, on budget, open and transparent, and that the workforce there are treated fairly, receive the benefits and wages that they should for the type of work that they're doing.
Great. Well, thanks for coming in to speak with us about it today, Dave. And we'll put the link to the C377 petition up on our website, munwater.org.
Thank you very much for having me, Josh.
I've been speaking with Dave Sauer, president of the Winnipeg Labor Council. You're listening to Mun Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.